Everything else, they go in your pocket.
All right.
Yeah. Check on my classes. I'm good.
How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Gotta be good. It's the Lord's Day. We're continuing our series on God's plan for man. This morning we're going to talk about the return of Jesus. And perhaps there is no greater subject than how Jesus is, how's all this going to come about when Jesus returns. And I learned in a journalism class a long time ago, and I mean a long time ago, the who, what, when, where, why, and how of storytelling. And in order to write a story, you need to answer these questions. And I think in this lesson today, these questions, at least most of them, will get answered. What is the greatest story ever told?
Death, burial, resurrection.
I don't have any chocolate. I'm sorry. we're Doug. Break out kisses. You know, we think about all the stories we've ever written, but there's never, ever a greater story than the story of Jesus. From his birth, you know, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to always remember that regardless of who and where we are in the world, it's still the greatest story ever told. Who was the greatest man ever born of woman?
Jesus.
You know, we look at the great men of history, but yet there's no greater than Jesus. There's no one who's ever done more for man than did Jesus Christ. There's no one who's ever given man more hope than Jesus Christ. And we, in a presidential election two terms ago, or a term and three quarters ago, the theme of President Obama was hope and change. And when we think about that as far as our religious lives are concerned, you know, when we change ourselves, well, actually we don't change ourselves, but when we decide to turn to Jesus and do things his way, and we have a change in our life, and in that change, our hope increases more and more and more and more. And so, certainly, Jesus is the greatest man who's ever been born. What's the greatest event in the history of the world? Now then. Death, burial, resurrection. There we go. And we look at that, and man has got to figure everything out, or he's got to try to anyway. But there are questions we just don't know the answer to. There are questions that we will never know the answer to until we are with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit in heaven, and we can just ask those questions then, if we are so minded to. I suspect when we get there, we'll be so happy to be there, we don't worry about those things anymore. In reality, I really don't worry about them now. The greatest event in history of the world is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it gives us hope about tomorrow. The what of today's lesson is the return of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand staring up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Who are we talking about there? The men of Galilee. The apostles, and who is speaking here? It's an angel. And he says to them, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Is there a promise given there? Absolutely. Jesus is coming again. He's going to return and gather the kingdom and present it to God. And that return of Jesus is the day that we all look forward to. As Christian people, we look forward to that time. I can't say that all the world possibly is going to look forward to that day, because on that day he does return, they're going to be saying, "Oh no, I messed up, and it's too late to do anything about it." And we need to look and we need to realize that when Jesus died, he didn't just go to the grave. He was resurrected from that grave. And he was seen by many witnesses during that period of time between his burial and his ascension back to heaven. And we need to realize that those days were proof that he had done what he said that he would do. 3 days I'll remain in the grave, then I'll rise. And so we look at this and we see then that Jesus ascended back up to heaven. People saw that. I'm supposed to have a picture in here. No, there it is. Now, that's the ascension. But Jesus says he's going to come in like manner. Is it going to be the same? He was walking here upon this earth and talking to the apostles, and then it was done. And he ascended back to the Father. We'll get more into that in a little bit. Jesus made a promise to the disciples prior to his death in John 14, verses 1 through 3. You got your Bibles? John 14, 1 through 3. What was that promise?
Let not your heart be troubled.
Now remember, I don't have a hearing aid in this ear, so you're going to have to really speak up. Anybody remember? Okay, he said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, receive you, so you can be where I am." Paraphrased. Most of us quote. Paraphrased. But he made a promise that he was going to come again, that he was going to return, that he was going to prepare a place for his saints. He was coming again to gather the kingdom so we could be with him and be with him eternally. On and on and on. Best way I can describe eternally is divide 100 by 3 and carry it out to its final number.
There's no final number.
There's no end. There's no final number. And so we need to realize that that's what heaven's going to be like. But that's also how long punishment is going to last for those who are condemned. And we'll get, as I said, get more into that a little later. Over and over we are told in the scriptures that Jesus will return. Because he has not yet does not mean that he's not going to. You know, we want instant gratification. My basketball coach friend, upon recruiting a very young team one year, said, "Lord, I need patience, and I want it right now."
Yeah, I want it right now.
Yeah, and so isn't that kind of the way that we are, though? That we want what we want now. And we also, when someone tells us they're going to do something, we want it done right now. You know?
Not tomorrow, today.
Yes. Yes. Or right now. Yeah. I always tell Miss Mary when she says something that as soon as I get around to it, you know, and she lost her around to it too, a little dilly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, reading in part, tells us that he will come as a thief in the night. What's he talking about here?
There won't be any warning.
There won't be any warning.
Nobody
you're not expected.
Go ahead.
You're not expecting him.
Okay.
Better it'll be the way you don't expect it.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with what we think.
Right. And so if we don't expect and don't know when that thief is coming, what must we do? Be prepared. You know, I thought this morning, you know, I've always thought about that as being the Boy Scout motto, you know, to be prepared. And I thought, Boy Scouts borrowed something from scriptures here, you know. So, and one time they did a lot.
Yeah, he said only the Father knows, that's right.
We'll get to that. This tells us that we must prepare, be prepared. How do we do this? How do we prepare ourselves?
He gives you indications of what's going to happen before he comes. You get little glimpses, like he says, when the leaves fall, you know, winter's coming. So you don't know the exact time and place, but you know he's coming.
And you know, the Thessalonians had a problem with this because they had loved ones who died. And we'll get more into that in just a few minutes too. But preparation is a lifelong pursuit, and when our life ends and we have prepared ourselves, we don't have to worry about eternity. Nor do our families have to worry about eternity. As I said, we'll talk a little bit more in that. But the thing we must do is to prepare. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. What does darkness mean?
Sin.
Sin. Usually we talk about darkness as being in sin. And he's talking here to Christian people. He said, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Darkness usually is talking about sin. Walking in the light is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And so, as Christian people, he says, you are all sons of light and sons of day. It's hard for me to think along the lines that through Jesus Christ I have become a son of God. I really don't feel like worthy enough to be called a son of God. Go ahead.
Darkness also means it's something you don't know about.
Yes. There are some people who can see better in the night than other people can see in the night. But you go into a cave and you get in there deep enough, and I don't care how good a night vision you have, you're not going to be able to see anything. Yeah. Being in the light is a part of being prepared. And so we have to accept Jesus and his plan of salvation in order to be walking in light, in order to be sons of God. He says, therefore let us not sleep. as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Again, we have to keep on keeping on. We have to remain faithful. What did Jesus tell John in the book of Revelation? Be thou
faithful unto death.
Not hearing anything.
Bingo.
Faithful unto death.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wanda, I can't hear. They make me wear this thing. I can't hear anyway. And they take my hearing aid out of one ear and I can only half hear. Lord knows what I'm talking about.
Very much so.
Peter. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Talk about patience. We oftentimes talk about people that we admire because of their patience. I know somebody's more patient. She is. God. God is patient with us. Why he hasn't destroyed the world already, I have no idea. You know, we, and I'm not just talking about this generation. We can go back many, many generations. Why he didn't destroy the world when they failed to accept Jesus and crucified him on the cross. You talk about long suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Is there ever been a promise that he has not fulfilled? Yeah, three is.
There was, you didn't tell me about it.
The final resurrection. A home in heaven. And so, but that's the only promise that I can think of I read in the Bible that was made by God that he did not keep. And we need
but
to.
Will. But he will keep. He just hasn't done it yet.
Right.
Patience.
I play on words.
Patience, remember.
There you go. Does, you know, when doubt creeps into our hearts and into our minds, let's remember the fact that Jesus keeps all his promises. And remember how he is trustworthy. We can, of all things that we put our trust in, Jesus is most trustworthy. Go ahead.
Speaks of a process from our point of view that isn't finished yet, but from his point of view it is. So that's why we should be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not done. It's not complete.
Yeah. If you didn't hear, the statement was made that
it's not a theory, it's proof that we're bound by time. Even if we're outside of time, it's finished from his point of view.
Yeah.
If we get from outside of time, it's done.
Yeah.
From our point of view, it's not done.
God has done all he's going to do. He's given us the way. He's prepared the way for us. Whether or not we accept it or we reject it is going to determine whether we are blessed eternally or whether we're condemned eternally. Get more into that, I promise. Maybe. We'll get there. When is Jesus to return? Now, I know this is the question right here that everybody is wanting an answer to it. I've got the answer for you this morning. Okay.
When the Father decides.
What now?
When the Father decides to.
Oh, you're stealing my thunder. I was going to have everybody sitting on the corner of their seats with, you know, pins and needles waiting for me to give the answer. And it's already given. Matthew 24 and 36. But the day and the hour knows no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Jesus made this statement, you know, before he is even crucified. You know, he was still, this is fairly near the end, but still yet, there were things to do yet while he was here upon this earth. And we worry and we ponder When is that day? Even people try to predict. Remember those predictions that were made several years ago that in December or something or other, the world will come to an end. Well, we can make claims such as that, and there will be some people who will believe it. But nobody knows except the Father when the end of time is going to come, when Jesus is going to return. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief right there. Y'all can't see that L, but you think it's an R, but it's an F, in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, but the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is a beautiful place that our God created. We find great joy in going to the desert because it's beautiful, especially after a rain, which happens very seldom. But there's life out there. And the mountains are beautiful. Going to the lake, sitting out on a beach in a chair, lean back with your eyes closed, listen to the waves coming in. All those things are beautiful. The hills of Tennessee are beautiful. Never been in the state. I've been in most of them that I didn't find beauty. God created all those things for us. There's beauty in the pictures that are posted on Facebook that we see. We look at that, and over we are awed by the beauty of the world that our God created. But one day, when God says, this is the day, everything as we know it will cease to be. This world, all the works that are in it will be burned up. It will end. And then eternity will begin. And again, when that day comes, only God knows. It's folly to try to figure out the time and the Lord's return. We instead should anticipate the Lord's coming by living in a holy and godly manner. And this is what it's all about. Doing godly things in godly ways. Not what I think, not what my mate thinks, not what the world thinks, but what God has commanded through His instructions in the Bible. We anticipate. Don't try to figure out questions that we might have that really doesn't matter.
I don't see that as bad because I think all the landfills and stuff you're going to have to be finding the great heat. If it wasn't for a fire in London, wouldn't it save by the flood?
There's good things about it. But that last day is not anything going to be good about it. For those who are unprepared. Fire is good, especially a good old wood stove during the winter time. But especially after being in duck woods for morning, it feels real, real good. But that last day, we should just simply anticipate the Lord's coming by living holy in a godly manner. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, 11 and 13, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There's where we get the part where Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. That's where he is now. And, you know, I can't tell you all those unknown things because I don't know what's heaven look like. John described it. He saw it. But he, words can't describe what heaven's going to be like. We just have to anticipate being with the Lord. You know, if heaven in reality was I hope nobody owns Motel 6, but I should use that as an illustration. If heaven is a Motel 6, and God and Jesus is there, it will be wonderful. It will be wonderful. Who will return? And again, quite a simple answer. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior, our Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. All the same person. Jesus is going to return. There's no doubt in my mind, and should be no doubt in every Christian's mind. There may be some unknowns about his return, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's going to return. All of mankind will be affected, from Adam to the last person born on earth before the coming of Christ. Everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of God and be judged according to the deeds we've done in our bodies, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we will be judged according to those deeds. Okay, get your Bibles out. When you get to chapter 1, we'll turn over to chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, that's not what I want. Maybe it is chapter 1. Yeah, chapter 1. Who's got it? If you've got it, we'll read it.
And give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God, do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power.
Okay, what's he saying there about the judgment day for those who are not prepared?
Not going to be pretty.
It's not going to be pretty. And we have to look at that and realize, in reality, who is responsible for our souls on the day of judgment?
We're individuals.
I'm responsible. Do I have a responsibility to you too? Of course we do. Of course we do. But I won't answer for your sins. I will answer for my own sins. I will answer because I didn't take the time to encourage an individual. I'll answer for that. I will answer for my sins. But I will answer what I have done. I won't answer for Mary. I won't answer for any of you. We will answer for our own selves, and we will stand in God in judgment. And those who have done evil, as it says there, are going to be condemned. Is that the way that God wants it?
Excuse me. We're not perfect, and we make mistakes as Christians. God
Yeah.
So of course you can't blame them. When you're standing in front of God, there's nothing you can say.
Yeah. You know, nothing we can say. It, you know, we stand before God. There's not any excuse that we can give. No excuse that we can give. Okay, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Somebody gets it, we'll read it.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
What does that tell you about Jesus? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who is that? All of us. The whole mass of humanity. And he says, I will give you rest. He says his way is easy. His burdens are light. And we need to, when we look at God's plan of salvation, it's not like the Old Testament. Are there things that we must do? Absolutely. Are there things that we must continue to do all of our life? Absolutely. But God so loved the world, God so loved mankind, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. And when we submit to God's will by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and follow his plan of salvation, then we become an adopted child of God. And we set out on a lifeline work of being the Lord's hands, feet, and mouth. We take the gospel to the world. In John 5, verses 28 through 29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You know, two ways. Either we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. And it depends upon us. It depends upon what we do. God has provided the way of salvation. Are we going to choose it or are we going to reject it? How will Jesus return? And this is one again. I don't know all the answers here. Anybody that does, I will certainly sit down and let them speak up or whatever it takes.
He told us he'll return the same way he left.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there are still questions, you know. What form is he going to be in? What's he going to look like? Doesn't matter. Forget it. Just know he's coming. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What's a mystery? We don't know the answer to it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not be in the grave. Not everybody will be in the grave when Jesus comes again. There'll be some that's still alive. And we all will be changed. Changed into what? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption. And how can we do that? Through the blood of Christ. And this mortal must put on immortality, knowing that we will be changed into an incorruptible spiritual being. Understanding all this that is involved in this change are two different things. I don't know exactly all the worlds and why fours of this and what I'm going to look like, but I know I'm going to be changed. And there's another scripture here. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At that time, then we will know. Right now, it's folly to try to figure it all out. Why will Jesus return? In order that all mankind can be resurrected to eternal life, both good and bad, from Adam to the last day. All will stand before God in judgment. Christ was just the first fruits of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 16 and verse 17. This is getting now more into how Jesus will come. A little bit more insight. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Is the Lord coming back to the earth? Coming back to the world, but will he reign for 1,000 years here upon this earth? Scriptures doesn't say that. It says very clearly here that we will rise to meet Jesus in the air. Like manner, the angel told the disciples, the apostles. In like manner, Jesus will return. Just as he ascended, he will descend. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. Those that remain on the earth and faithful will rise to meet him in the air. And the earth will be burned up. And then all will stand before our God in judgment. What a day, glorious day, that will be for those in Christ. Not too good for those who are outside the fold of safety. But what a day, glorious day for the saints. God's desire is that all would come to know his Son. He wants all to be saved because of his amazing love for us. It's impossible for me to describe the love of God, just as it's impossible for me to describe what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be wonderful. And God's love is wonderful, amazing, awesome, whatever word you want to use. It's just impossible to put it into words. Go ahead. Good. We've got to have the faith and keep on keeping on that God knows best. And be obedient to those things he's telling us to do. And if we do that, then certainly we're going to be blessed. Final thought goes right along with what you said. Be obedient. Be faithful unto death by the coming of Jesus. This may be the new record for me. I did the whole lesson. The return of Jesus. Next week, the lesson will be on the judgment. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33. John 12, verse 48. Acts 17, verse 31. Romans 2, 5 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Any final comments?
Better sit on the right side next week.
What?
Better sit on the right side next week when we talk about the judgment.
Okay, everybody on the sheep side. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
Maybe I am on the right side.
Well, that's what I want to ask you.